Well, thank you, Lord. Amen. And that hello, my name is. What is your name? My name is. Well, a lot of us carry a lot of weights. A lot of us carry a lot of things, do we not? You know, some of it might be your title at work. You know, some might be other things of people that have spoken over you. And that you might be, you know, oh, well, I'm a mom or I'm a dad or I'm a this. Yeah, but what happens if all of a sudden you do your best as a mom or a dad and your child decides to go their own way? You know, does that make you now not a good mom, not a good dad? You see, when we put our weight in all the things around us that we can do, we can get shattered pretty quick. We can get puffed up, but listen, the higher you get, it's the harder you fall. That's why the Bible says we must decrease so he can increase. So when it comes down to when someone asks, hey, what's your name, who you are? I'm just the child of the one true king. I'm just his child. That's as simple as it is. You don't have to put any more weight and pressure on you. You don't have to come in here thinking, oh man, I got to look right just because, you know, everyone in here, they've got it all together. No, none of us have it all together. Oh, there's many in here that try to make it, like me. We try to make it look like we got it together, but none of us have it together. And that's why we're all here, because we're in need of the one true king. We're in need of him to continue the work that he began. He says, he that began a good work will complete it. He's not finished with you yet, so be patient. Patient and let him perfect that work in you. Partner with him. Grab a hold of him this morning and then allow him to speak into your heart. Allow him to challenge your heart. Allow him to draw you into the place that he's called you to be, because you were created on purpose. You're here for a purpose. Not just to breathe, drink coffee, go to work, do your thing, and go home. But you were created to be a part of his kingdom and changing the lives and drawing people into his presence and what he has. Amen? Oh, we serve the great I am. The great I am is here right now. So can we stand together just as an act of linking our hearts together? Can we stand in the place together? And we're just going to acknowledge, we know he's here because the word of God says where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. Amen? How many are with me that are gathered in his name? How many love Jesus today? And that, pretty much most of us here love Jesus. So that's a good sign. Then we know Jesus is here. Amen? Amen. So the key is, are you here and am I here? Amen. That's the key. Are we here to lift him up? Are we here to connect with him? Amen? Amen. So let go of anything that would distract you today, right? Let go of anything that would distract you today and focus on him. And every time a distraction comes, you put it down and say, no, I'm taking that captive. No, I'm thinking on things holy, noble, praiseworthy, and true. The great I am is in the house, and I want to meet with him, and he wants to meet with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for the honor and privilege it is to be called a child of God. Oh, thank you. I'm not a slave. I'm not a side thing. I'm not an outcast. But Lord, you've drawn me in and adopted me as your son. You've adopted us as your son and your daughter. I pray in the name of Jesus Christ, you said that we would have ears to hear what you would say. So Holy Spirit, open our ears of our hearts so we can hear you today. And what you want to speak into our lives as individuals, as a family unit, and as a big family called Rockcliffe, what do you want to speak into us so that, Lord, when we leave this place and go into the mission field, God, Lord, we would go, Lord, with a power and a boldness. We would go with a compassion. We would go with such a sense of your presence, Lord, that God, everyone around us, Lord, would be touched, and everyone around us would say, wow, I don't know what you got, but I want it. I want that. Holy Spirit, I just thank you right now. I thank you. There's no weapon formed against us should prosper. So Lord, I just speak and pause. Lord, to everyone here today, whether it be in the mind, whether it be in the emotions, whether it be in the body, whether it be in the will.
You can sit down for a moment if you like. About 10 years ago, as some of you know, I was about to lose my job. And I had shared in a Sunday school class way long before that how one of my greatest fears was not being able to provide for my family. It was just an insecurity that I had. About 10 years ago, I was going to lose my job. But God, in his miraculous hand, moved things around in my place of employment that I stayed employed, and I didn't lose my job. And it's been 10 years, and it's been a roller coaster, to say the least, but it's been good. It's been a blessing. And just 3 weeks ago, head office sent some individuals up from Toronto to make some more cuts. And once again, I knew, wow, this is probably it, you know, because there was only 21 of us left. But God knew what he was doing. Because you see, there was two individuals at my place of employment that were ready to retire. So they stepped forward and they said, get rid of me. Get rid of me. And again, church, God showed how much he loved me and how much he cared for me and how much of that insecurity that I had inside of me. And he said, what are you worried about? I got you.
Oh, Father God, we thank you for your presence here today. God, we know and we acknowledge that it is your breath in our lungs, Jesus. You're the reason why our hearts beat. God, you're the reason why we live and move and breathe. And God, as we enter your presence, may we be just given a wonderful and complete revelation of your love, Jesus. Because as Dave said, love casts out all fear. And God, if we were just given a glimpse, a moment of just your pure love, all anxiety would be gone. Because we would know how amazing and how victorious your love is. God, if we were given just an ounce of your pure love, God, everything would be washed away. Thank you, Lord. And all fear would be gone. We would know we are secure in you, Jesus. And so God, thank you for showering your love upon us today. And God, we will draw ever closer. We will obey. We will follow. Because God, you are worth everything. And thank you, Jesus, for giving everything for us. Amen. You may be seated. You know, for those this morning that are weary, that are tired in their faith for one reason or another, I just feel like God is saying today that, you know, though how small your faith feels right now compared to the mountain of your worry, Jesus is saying, just give me your mustard seed. Just give me your mustard seed. Because our mustard seed of faith in the hand of Jesus is way bigger than any mountain that we may face. Way bigger. And sometimes the mountain that needs to be moved is actually not a situation so much, but it's our heart. And God wants to rearrange this morning. So just allow him to do that. And so use your mustard seed and say, Jesus, I believe. Help my unbelief, and he will do that for you. He will move that mountain. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. We're super glad to have you here today with us as we celebrate Jesus. Amen. And that we don't need to wait for Easter. We don't need to wait for Christmas. But every day we can celebrate him. Amen. For this is the day the Lord has made, so I choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen? Every day we can celebrate him. Every day is a good day. Amen? Oh, I know sometimes our heart and our mind and our emotions battle us on that because things don't go our way or the way we thought they would or the way we would like them to move. But when we settle in our heart that our Father is good and he turns everything around for good, there's a peace that goes beyond understanding. There's a joy that raises inside of us that we can make it through anything. We can go through anything. And that if we look at Jesus' life and what he endured, anything that we've endured times 50 is not compared. And he says, hey, I overcame the world. And if I overcame it, guess what? The same Holy Spirit that was in me is in you, and so you can overcome it too. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, you can overcome because he is inside of you. Amen? And that God is calling us to believe if we would only believe. Amen? And that doesn't mean everything shifts in a matter of seconds. Sometimes it does. How many people here today, by a show of hands, you have had a real miracle happen in your life? And what I mean, let me define for a second here, is a miracle is you're asking God, you need something physically, mentally, emotionally, financially, whatever it might be, the job, like Dave just shared, and you ask God, and it was almost like instantly, it just changed, right? Whereas healing is a process, right? Might be a week, might be a day, might be a month, might be a year, but it's moving, and he's gradually moving you closer to that place. Whereas that miracle is where he comes, and all of a sudden, he performs a miracle, and once you couldn't do something, and now you can. How many people here have had a miracle in their life before? Right? Just look around the room. Keep your hands up. Look around the room a little bit. He's alive. He's alive. He's alive. And he says in his word, we are not to play any favorites. Why? Because he plays no favorites. And he says, what I can do for one, I can do for all. We just need to allow the peace of God to come into our heart, that our expectation that, well, you did this for this person and this, I want the same. I don't want what you got. I don't want what happened in your life or that life or this one or that one. No way. That means if I get this good in your life, I got to take everything else that's happened in your life to get you to that place. And that's a lot of weight, amen? We are who we are today because of the good, the bad, and ugly in our life that God has turned around for the good. I'm in the place I'm in today in my heart and in my life because of sometimes of the tragedy and some of the difficulties of my life. It shaped who I am. As I hung sometimes to the cross, I felt like a tornado was going through and my legs are kicked out and I'm just hanging on tight. But as I hung on to him, he's renewed me. He's changed me. He's built me into the place that I am today. And he's building you into the place you are today. Trust him. He knows where you're at. He knows every desire of your heart. He knows every tear you shed. I don't get it all. I don't understand it all, but I do understand he is good. And he is with you, and he'll never leave you. And then he says, I'll carry you when you need carried. I'll help you when you need help. But I'm going to tell you now, the miracle isn't him. So many people chase the miracle. They chase the healing. They chase the feeling. And it's but just a passing by of who he is. He says, there's so much more to me. Just wait on me. Trust me. Let me do my work, my perfecting work inside of you, that you would lack nothing and become mature. Don't be anxious about it, but trust me. I got you. I've always had you, and I always will. It's coming back to trust in him. This is your first week here. We've been in the middle of a series. God put in my heart this phrase, and in my heart is, it's only going to get better. It's only going to get better. And that sweeter and sweeter as the days go by, right? Do we believe what we sing? Do we believe what we say? It's only going to get better. I don't know about you. I look at the news and I'm like, oh my goodness, man, this is getting worse. You know what? I don't believe that report. I don't want to be like the 10 spies who ended up paralyzing everyone else around. I want to be the Joshua and Caleb. I pray that you want to join with me to be a Joshua and Caleb, and that to say, you know what? Yeah, things don't look so good around here, but my God makes everything better. Amen. My God changes everything. And I don't know about you, but there's something rising inside of me just to believe and dare enough to say, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. It doesn't matter what you're facing. Doesn't matter what you're going through. It's going to get better. So in the first part, and that the key thought we talked about is you're going to have to let go of the good to grab a hold of the better. Oh, sometimes the good robs you of the better. Sometimes it does. And the verse for that was in Psalms 84:10. It says, better is one day in your courts than 1,000 elsewhere. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. I'd rather clean toilets in the church just to be in his presence and be around everyone than to be out in the street and going sitting down somewhere or going on watching a movie or doing this or doing that. Like, what better do I have to do than sit in the presence of God with my brothers and sisters? On my own, I got the great I am. Amen? And that when I asked Jesus in my heart, did you get Jesus in your heart? Yes, you did. Amen? But the Bible talks to us and that about the fact that we none of us contain all of his glory or we would die. We just couldn't handle it all. But each and every one of us have a piece of it. This body, the body of Owen Sound, needs you to shine. Needs you to reveal that glory piece that God's put in you. And you need the person next to you and the other person to let theirs shine. So we all see a better picture and a bigger picture of who God is. It's only going to get better. Next week in part two, we talked about the key thought was it's better to have less of what doesn't matter and more of what does. The verse that went with that was in Ecclesiastes 4:6. Better one handful with tranquility or with peace than two with toil and striving and stress and chasing after the wind. See, this idea of better, it's not to get better. Well, I'm telling you now, the only way it gets better is when we actually start embracing the word. Because the word of God says the truth shall set you free. Let's try that again. The truth will set you free. We got to start embracing it. It's not archaic. It's not old. It's not no good. No, we need to embrace his word because it's breathing life for everyone that embraces it. That everyone that believes, my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then in part three, we talked about the main key thought was we make our decisions and our decisions make us. And the verse for that was in Psalm 16:16. How much better to get wisdom than gold, to choose understanding rather than silver. Can I pause and just stress, you can get these on the web. I believe that they've been recorded and put it on there. But on that part, rockcliff.org. But on there is, I just want to stress, if I can pause for a moment here. You can flip up the next slide. It's a verse I shared last week, and it says in Proverbs 4:7, wisdom is supreme. Therefore, get wisdom. Though it costs all you have, get understanding. Church, it's time to be vulnerable again. You might say, yeah, but I've been hurt before. Well, you know what? You're going to be hurt again. It's part of life, right? And that we're going to fall down. We're going to step on toes. I was playing basketball the other night in our gym with a bunch of men and some of the youth, and we were playing, and I turned quickly with the ball to bring it up, and I stepped on one guy's foot, or just on the edge of his toe, and I heard, oh! And he says, oh, yeah, that's the toe that my nail's almost off. And I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. I said, I didn't mean to. And he's like, ah, it's okay. Why? Because he knew I didn't mean it. Sometimes we build up so much stuff by our talk and our thoughts that we take out of the fact that, you know what? Everyone around you is good-willed at heart. They make dumb decisions sometimes, and they say things they shouldn't say and things like that, but at the end of the day, they're good-willed at heart. And if we can come with that simplicity inside of us and gain that understanding, no, they're good-willed at heart. My wife is good-willed at heart. Your husband is good-willed at heart. They're not out to ruin your life. They're not out to mess everything up. And when we start to understand that, then all of a sudden we start breaking down the walls. You see, sometimes that mountain Pastor Nathan talked about, he's absolutely right. It's what we built up. We build up these mountains in our thoughts. We build up these mountains in our emotions. We build these mountains up by what we speak. Listen to me. God spoke everything into existence. Everything by his word. He spoke it out and he created. And he spoke it into existence. Listen to me. Everything you speak out is creating the environment around you. What type of environment do you want? What do you want to build? Right? What do you want to create? I don't know about you, but I want to be Joshua and Caleb that are going to create an environment where God is large and my problems are small. Right? And that's what they did over and over and over again. Today, we're going to look at a scripture that comes from Proverbs 22:1. And this is what it says. It says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. Each week we've been taking these memory verses and we've been pausing for a moment. I'm reading them out. Now we're going to read it together, so everyone read with me. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. Proverbs 22:1. I encourage you to put this into memory because you know why? It's important to have a good name. And I'll share why as we break it down today. If you remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about the fact that silver and gold, many times in Scripture, it refers to the pursuing of things like wealth and power and possession. You could say that today it means that we want a bigger house, a newer car, a better wardrobe. We want to be famous. We want everyone to know our name. It's the things that the world, so to speak, is value and worth. But the Bible says there's something better. And that is a good name. A good name is better than the silver and gold. A good name is basically like having a good reputation. It's what you're known for. So as we begin today, let me just ask this. What are you known for? You see, when I think about that question and I pause about it, my natural tendency is to jump back 5, 10 years, last year. But how many know you can spend a whole life working and building up your life, your reputation, your stuff, and you're building it, and in one moment, one bad decision, one second, everything can crumble. Happens all the time. All the time. One allegation. One bad decision. One weak moment. And all of a sudden, we're defined by that. Right? The song that we heard when we opened the thing. Hello, my name is Regret. How many of us carry that stuff around with us all the time? Oh, we don't turn around when someone says, hi, what's your name? Oh, my name is Regret. Oh, my name is Sadness, Loneliness. But yet we carry those things and we're portraying that, so that's what people are seeing. See, you aren't what you think you are. You are who you are. And a lot of times, if you think about that for a moment, when I'm by myself, I'm the perfect Christian. I could do no wrong. I got everything together. But the moment I get around everyone else, I realize I'm not the perfect Christian. And I got stuff to grow in. He's not finished with me yet. And I want to encourage you, he's not finished with you either. He's wanting to perfect. He's wanting to do a work inside of you. When people say your name, what do they think? What are you known for? At the same time, I'd like to dispel a lie that many times can be thought of in our heads when we think about having a good name. Many times we feel like that this is something that means that we have to be perfect. If you're taking notes, this is our key thought for today. A good name doesn't mean you're perfect, but you're being perfected by the one who is. A good name doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means you're being perfected by the one who is. So that when people look at you and look at me, who should they see? If they see Phil, I'm not doing a very good job. Right? If they see too much of Phil, I'm not doing so good. Because he's the one that should be seen in my life and through my life. I think in our churches in North America, we fought too much for our own rights. We fought for our own reputations, our own names, our own stuff that we forgot really what it's all about. God's just saying, hey, I want to have my church back. Hey, I want you just to come. This is not meant to be hard. My burden is light. My yoke is easy. If this walk as a Christian is super hard, it's only because we're doing it on our own. Or we're taking pieces of it and we're trying it on our own. He says, rest in me. I'll help you. Every step. I'll never leave you. I'll give you the wisdom. I'll give you the things. And listen, if it even gets too hard and too difficult for you and me, I'll give you a way out. Now, I don't know about you. Everything's too hard for me. But when I bring God into the equation, is anything too hard for him? So we don't have to look to bail on everything very quickly when things aren't tough, when things get tough or things aren't going the way we thought they should. Because we know he's beside us. And he makes a way where there seems to be no way as we put our faith and put our trust in him. Names are an interesting thing. They seem to get a lot of things stuck to them. As we walk through life, for instance, you know, I think back when I had children with my wife, and we had these children, and now Isaiah, God gave my wife his name before we even had him, and before we even knew we had a child, or we were even trying to have a child, and God already said, you're having a boy first, and this is his name. But, you know, we had a couple other children. And how many times do you ever go through there and you're trying to go through names? You ever done those baby books? Oh, my Lord. You know, you're looking through them, you're trying to figure out a name because heaven forbid you call your child a name that has a nickname stuck to it that's not so nice, right? Like, I don't know what's gone on, but sometimes some of the children's names I've listened to, I'm just like, wow, that parent must not like their child. You know, like, what happened there? Like, I mean, that child is just destined to be teased and everything else. And you notice how many people changed their names. In my last congregation, I was 4.5 years there. And then I was going on a missions trip with a bunch of them, only to find out that, wow, their name really wasn't Chris. It was Hazel. It really wasn't Smokey. It was Freeman. It really wasn't. And that Barb, it was Violet. And all of a sudden, I'm like, whoa, wait a second here. You know, it wasn't Dana. It wasn't Sean. It's Dana. And they changed their names and things like that. Why? Because we know things get stuck to names. And we were thinking of children's names, and then I'm looking through a book, and I'm trying to figure out, and I'm like, God, just help me decide what is the name that you want to call my son or my daughter that we're going to have. And I'm coming across names like, man, I'm not calling them that. That was a bully in grade 3 that used to pick on me. Man, no way I'm calling my kid that name. You know, or this is, man, I'm not calling my girl that name. I remember in school in grade 5, and that when this girl asked me, and that for an answer on a test in the middle of a test, and I'm thinking, oh, you know, okay, I'm going to let her know what the answer is, and, you know, and so I start to whisper the answer to her, only to have her raise her hand and say, teacher, he's cheating, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, so I'm not calling my girl that name. Names get things stuck to, don't they? Like, think about it for a moment here. Let me just list off a few names for you, and see what comes to you. Adolf Hitler. Things get stuck to names, don't they? Billy Graham. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Elvis Presley. Mother Teresa. Every time a name is spoken, it evokes something, does it not? It reminds you of something. It means something. You mean something. You mean something. You are valuable in the kingdom of God. You see, a good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold, because a name can carry both bad and it can carry good as well. Things attach to our names. I've heard it said this way, regard your good name as the richest jewel you can possibly possess. The way to gain a good reputation is to endeavor to be what you desire to appear. You see, the way to gain a good reputation is endeavor to be what you desire to appear. Let what you say and what you do line up. Matthew 5:37 puts it this way. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no. For whatever is more than these is from the evil one. He doesn't want us wavering and tossed to and fro by the waves. Let your yes be yes, and your no be no, and be the man and be the woman that can say, I was wrong. I got it wrong. Forgive me. And then let your yes be yes and your no be no. The convictions, the move of God, the words of God, and as he speaks into our heart. If you're saying you're a Christian, be a good one. If you say you're a friend, be one. If you make a commitment, keep it. Let's come through a couple verses here to set us up for what I'm going to share of why is a good name better. Romans 14:17-18 says, for the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. In the world's way, we perform in order to find our identity in hopes that we might get approved. People might like us. But in God's kingdom, it's the right side up. And in God's kingdom, we're accepted, period. Right from the very beginning, the moment we ask Christ in our heart, I'm accepted. I don't have to work for it. I can't gain more of his love. I can't take more of his love away. I'm accepted now. I'm a child of the one true King. And out of that acceptance, I find my new identity in Christ. He's going to give me a new name when I get to heaven. Only he knows what that name is. But I find my identity now in Christ. And it's out of that acceptance, out of that identity, now that I perform. I do all the things that I do because I'm so madly in love with him. I can't help but do it. The more you spend time with Jesus, you become like Jesus. And Jesus said, I didn't come to be served, but I came to serve. He said, I didn't come for my own will and my own rights. I come for my Father's will. Whatever my Father tells me to do, that's what I'm going to do. The world's got us spinning our tracks, working so hard to perform in order to get an identity, in hopes to be accepted. But God's got a much easier way, and not only easier, but a better way. That when we come and rest and become accepted in him, that no longer is our engine of our heart working so hard to try and hope that people might like us. That hope that we might one day, when I get to heaven, one day, God, I hope, I pray, oh, maybe, I don't know. You might say, well done, good and faithful servant. Listen to me. If you just learn to say yes today, when you get to heaven, he's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. Because if you say yes today, guess what? Tomorrow rolls around to become today. And if you just say yes that day, today, when you get to heaven, you're going to do everything he asked you to do. And he's going to say, well done. Come at ease. Take off that pressure that you got to perform in order to find your identity in hopes that he might like you. We're not of the law anymore. We're of grace. God says, I've accepted you. I'm not finished with you yet, and there's a perfecting and a work I'm doing in you, but don't worry. I'm with you. I'm not against you. I'm with you. 1 Peter 2:12 says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Oh, they might not see it right then and there, or let me put it a different way. They might not want to admit it. But every knee and every tribe and every tongue and every nation, every king and every queen and every president and prime minister and every boss and everyone else will bow their knee before Jesus one day. Everyone will. And on that day, they will be flooded back with either the good of all the good of how you and I attracted people and showed Jesus to them, or they're going to be flooded back with 1,000 excuses on why they said, oh, those hypocrites and oh, this and oh, that. Listen, it's time for us to let the mask come down. We are not perfect. We are not perfect. Amen? Oh, I think there should be a bigger amen than that. Amen? Amen. But we're being perfected by the perfect one. Amen? That's where it comes back to. He's not finished with you yet. Let him do his work. Partner with him. Move with him. 1 Samuel 16:7 helps us out by saying, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. It's not about your education status. It's not about your money status. It's not about this. It's not about that. In God's kingdom, in God's, his riches are not stored on this earth. He gives us the riches we have on this earth to bless, be a part of his kingdom. Please don't be a hoarder. The Bible talks about that a lot. But he says that we're not to store it here, we're to store it there. And the way to store it there is by saying yes to him. I'm not saying yes to everything around you. There's 9,554 needs right here in this room. I can't meet them all, but I know the one that can. I don't have to carry the weight. I know the one who can. And if he tells me to do something, guess what? I'm going to do it. But if he doesn't tell me to do it, I'm going to lock with you to pray that God will provide. Because I'm not your provider. The person next to you is not the provider. Your boss is not your provider. God is your provider of all your needs according to his riches and his glory. Let's get our eyes looking up and seeing what he has. Matthew 5:16 says, in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Oh, man, that's where it's at. Oh, may everyone see Jesus so much and feel that they want him to. Amen? I don't know about you, but I still got a ways to go. But will you join me in the journey? Will you join me in the journey of decreasing so he can increase? And let's just see what he's got for us. Let's see the adventure he has ahead, because he wants to save Sulukot. Oh, I just sold my house. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for all of your prayers. It finally sold. And I tell you, this last journey, I could spend hours sharing about the weights and the things and the turmoil and the mind and emotion twisting, all the stuff that the enemy tried to do to distract us from what God wanted to do. But thank God Almighty, he's in control. Amen. 10 months later, my house is finally sold, and I'm so grateful for that. Sorry. In Owen Sound, God wants to save everyone. He wants to save your family more than you want them saved. And you might argue and say, oh, I really want them saved, and I'm praying hard. I get it. But he desires it even more. God is not working against you. He is so wanting to work with you. We just got to let our walls down and let it happen and let partner with him, because it might look different than the way you think it should look. But if you trust him, he'll walk you in to the sweet spot of his presence, because where he is, that's where I want to be. Amen? Why is a good name better? Let's walk through a few things. Why is a good name better? A good name is better. If you're taking notes, I got 3 different things I want to share today about why a good name is better. Number one, a good name instills confidence. A good name instills confidence. Why? And that Proverbs 10:9 says this, whoever walks in integrity walks securely. Here's the thing, though. We all do this. We get our hand caught into the cookie jar, so to speak. Something we know is not right. We know we were supposed to wait for it, but our hand got caught in the cookie jar. We act like nobody can see. There's stuff you've been looking at maybe on your mobile device. You know you're not supposed to. Maybe you're worried that someone's going to see it or find out. You're not walking in integrity, and all of a sudden, you don't walk securely. You don't walk in confidence. Or you start gossiping a friend, and then all of a sudden you come to your senses and you become worried. Oh my goodness, what if they find out? What if they find out that I was the one that started it? And so what happens? You don't walk confidently or securely anymore. Oh my goodness, I'm a student and I've been cheating on all my tests all the way along, and now I've got an exam and I know I'm not going to do so well. Oh my goodness, how am I going to make it through this? You sort of catch up and all of a sudden now what do I do? I'm not walking in integrity at work. I paid for 40 hours, but I'm not working 40 hours. I'm not putting in the time and I'm worried. The boss is starting to look at things. Oh, I'm worried, man. And what if he finds out I've been cheating out 3-4 hours every week? I might lose my job. So you don't walk confidently. Or maybe it's that inappropriate conversation on Facebook. You're worried that someone's going to find it out. So you're like, how do I delete this? How do I get rid of this? You don't walk confidently. When you don't walk in integrity, you don't walk securely. There's a difference when you walk with integrity, and as you do, it builds your confidence, and it builds a good name, and it begins to build and instill confidence inside of you. Doing what's right, even if it doesn't turn out right for you at that moment, is still the right thing to do. Everyone else is taking a few things from work, and no one ever says anything. It's okay. Do what's right, even if it doesn't turn out right for you. And God will always honor it, and it will always turn out right. Because who are we putting the power in? Are we putting it into that person that we're trying to appease, or we're trying to make like us, or approval? Or are we putting it in the great I am? We need to come back to the place that fear of the Lord rises inside of us again, that he is the one that holds us in his hand, not the bank, not other people around us, not whether someone likes me today or doesn't like me today, but that we come back as, does he like me? Am I okay with him? Because if I'm okay with him, guess what? If you're okay with him, you are going to move in places. And people, even though they might not like it and they might not accept it, one day they will all shout out, I remember that person. And I saw Jesus in them. Why didn't I grab it then? Why didn't I? Or you're going to stand in heaven, you'll be in line waiting. I don't know why we would wait in heaven. I don't get this, but the jokes all say that. So you'll be standing there and all of a sudden a flood of people will come around you and begin to say, oh, thank you. Do you remember this time? And you're like, oh, I don't really remember. But no, you did this at work, and I saw it, and I couldn't believe. Why would you do that? It could have cost you your job, but you still did it. And I saw that integrity. I said, I don't know what that is, but I want it. Why is a good name better? Because it instills confidence. When we walk with integrity, we can know we're pleasing the one we're supposed to please. Number two, a good name speaks for you. We see this illustrated in 2 Chronicles chapter 9. You see, when we see Solomon and the Queen of Sheba having a discussion. Now, really quick, let's look at Solomon for a moment. Remember, a couple weeks ago, we talked about Solomon. We talked about the fact that Solomon was the wisest man that ever was. It's because God gave him an option to ask for anything he wanted. So what does he ask for? Not riches or take out this enemy. He asked for wisdom. He asked God for wisdom. And so God gave him not only an abundance of wisdom, but everything else. And what happened is his good reputation had gone throughout the land, and it had come to the ears of the Queen of Sheba. And so let's pick up from here in 2 Chronicles chapter 9, verse 1. It says this, when the Queen of Sheba heard, remember, your reputation goes before you. When she heard of Solomon's fame, she came to Jerusalem to test him with questions. I don't know what kind of questions she asked. But in that part is if you've ever sat down and had a whole lot of questions, Ben, and that from a woman, and she's asking all these questions, and there's some questions we're just better not to answer unless you have a lot of wisdom to know exactly how to navigate it. I don't know how he came up with all this wisdom, apart from God divinely gave him this wisdom. And he begins to share with the Queen of Sheba, and he begins to talk with her, and so she tested him with hard questions. She came, and here's what she did. She came to Solomon, the very end of verse 1, and talked with him about all she had on her mind. So she just laid it all out. I don't know, have you ever been in a situation where someone begins to unfold and you're just like, whoa, this is way over my head? And you're just like, oh my goodness, how do I answer the questions of life? Right? For some parents, maybe it's the sex talk. Whoa, that's a little over my head. You know, where's the youth pastor? Where's someone else? You know, we get into those spots where we feel overwhelmed by this, but listen to me. Pause. Ask for wisdom, and the great I am will give it to you. Seek understanding, and he'll unfold it for you, because he's the one that gives it without holding back anything. But it goes on, and here's the thing. Not a single question was too hard for Solomon. He answered them all. In verse 5 and 6 of 2 Chronicles chapter 9, she said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe it. What they said until I came and I saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half the greatness of your wisdom was told me. You are far exceeding the report I heard." A good name speaks for itself. Your reputation goes before you. Have you had a time when you've ever met someone for the first time, and as you're about to meet them, someone else has shared so much about them that you walk up to them and you almost feel like you know them already? I don't know, but I have those moments lots, because people are inviting me, talking, hey, come meet my mom. Hey, come meet my brother, my sister, and they've shared so much about them. I feel like I'm family already, and I go up to them, and I get talking to them, and I'm sharing things with them. We're like, how did you know that? And I'm like, well, it wasn't God. Your brother told me. I'm sorry, you know? And we talk about things, but you feel like you already know them. Why? Because that reputation has already come before you. Or have you ever been in a situation where someone has shared some stuff with you and all of a sudden you walked up and you become a little more cautious because their reputation of leaving a train wreck everywhere has gone before them? Fusing, burning the bridges. Your name carries some good, carries some bad. Remember Billy Graham, Mother Teresa, Dr. Martin Luther King? See, those names, they were given to them at birth. And they didn't really mean something back then. Oh, they did to God, but it hadn't got unpackaged yet. And so to everyone around, they were a cute little kid or whatever. But as they walked through life with integrity and doing what God had called them to do, Their names today, they speak for themselves. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better. We see this playing out sometimes on Facebook when all of a sudden someone posts something on your site, kind of in a slam towards you, or they say something, and right away all your friends come to your defense and say, "Whoa, let us tell you about who he is or who she is. That's out of character. That's not them at all." Your reputation, it goes before you. The moment you start fighting for your reputation, you've lost. Because it's not about fighting to get it, it's about walking in it. It just comes out of you, and that's what people see. It's not what you want them to see, it's what is coming out. What are they seeing? What are they getting? What are they grabbing a hold of? Walking in integrity. Walking and allowing your reputation to go before you. So number one is a good name instills confidence. Number two is a good name speaks for you. And number three is a good name inspires others. We see this in Scripture in 1 Corinthians 11, 1. The Apostle Paul is writing to the people in Corinth. He's talking to them about being a follower of Christ and what it means. You can see almost a sense where there's a little bit of worry. There's this confusion, or not confusion, but this weight that the people are grabbing, and whether they can do it or they can't. It seems so difficult. They're trying to walk in this way, but how do we do it? And here's Paul's simple advice. Paul simply says, look, here's the deal. 1 Corinthians 11:1. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. A good name inspires others. Follow my example as I follow Christ. You see, if we're not walking in integrity and we're not walking in that part of a good name, allowing it to instill confidence in us, we don't say that, do we? Well, I don't know. I really want them to do all that I'm doing, because some of the things I'm doing, I really don't think we should be doing. Change it, because a good name should inspire others. And that confidence should rise inside of you and inside of me, that we should say to our kids and to our neighbors and others, you know what? Follow my example as I follow Christ. If you're having a hard time making the connection, follow my example as I follow Christ. Can you say that today? Can I say that today? With confidence? And that, follow my example as I follow Christ? See, that's what Paul says. You can almost just hear him saying, listen, I get it. You're a little worried, but look at me. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. That's what he says. In other words, be inspired by what you see. What I'm doing, how I'm walking, it can be done. I'm walking with Christ. Walk the way I walk. Listen to me. You and I should be inspiring those around us. Let me give you some examples. People should be able to look on at you or me, and they're like, I don't really get it right now, because you're going through something that seems too difficult, seems big, massive, but yet you still have this joy. It's something, it's not happiness, but it's something, it's some kind of joy. I don't get it, but man, I want it. I want what you have. I'm inspired by it. Or because they realize, hey, why? Because you realize, or I realize, better is one day in his courts than 1,000 elsewhere. To have a day with God sets you up to be able to understand that your joy in life is not determined by the circumstances around you. It transcends it because it's built on a foundation of Christ. And your day with God, you know, is better. It roots you and enables you to begin to take on whatever comes your day. And people see it and they're inspired. They don't understand it, but they're inspired. Somebody may look at you and be like, I don't get it. I've got two handfuls. I've got everything. But all I get is toil and chasing after the wind. I got holes in my pocket. But you've got one handful, and yet there's peace and tranquility. I don't get it, but I want it. That's what I want. I'm inspired by it. You see, as followers of Christ, you should be able to walk in such a way that people look at your life and say, I want that. Not because of anything of us, but because of Christ who dwells inside of us. 2 Corinthians 4, 7-9 says, we are just jars of clay. It's the treasure that's inside of us that is worth more than anything. It's the very presence of God. And the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead, Romans 6, 10-11 says, and that if you're a follower of Christ, Holy Spirit dwells inside of your mortal body, and that is inspiring. The fact that the great I Am dwells inside of you is inspiring. You can talk with Holy Spirit, you can talk with God, and He talks back. Wow! Wow! Maybe you're here today and say, I'm not an inspiring person. Yeah, I'm no Billy Graham. I'm no Dr. Martin Luther King. I'm no that idea. I'm just a person that works in the grocery store, bank teller, contractor, laborer. I'm just a stay-at-home mom. I'm not super inspiring. Let's take a little quiz for a second. Who was Miss America in 2012? No one knows. I don't know either, so it's okay. How about who won the Super Bowl in 2001? Okay, how about the MVP for that game? Most valuable player. Well, I don't know either. Perhaps a sports fanatic might know if you search on Google and you're quickly trying to find it on your phone. But I have no idea, and I guarantee that probably 99% here have no idea. Who won the Oscar for the Best Actress in 2015? I mean, our search engines are going right now trying to figure it out, but I don't know. But let me ask some questions that maybe you do know. Who was the teacher, whether it be a music teacher, school teacher, Sunday school teacher, that inspired you to be something? A teacher that just pulled you aside, that just something they did or did said just inspired you. Who was the coach that pulled something out of you that you never thought you had in you? That coach just kind of draw it out of you, and you became better. Who was the friend that was there for you in the deepest time of your need? See, we can start to remember those things because it inspired us, because it touched in our heart. Where it really matters, not the outward, like the world, looking at the appearance of everything. Jesus says, I look to the heart, because it's where the heart, it really matters. Those are the inspirations that we can remember. You were inspired. We open ourselves and we care more about others than ourselves. As we walk as a fully devoted follower of Christ, we should inspire people by our lives, not because we're good, but because He is good. Let me finish, but just coming to a close here by talking just for a few moments, but maybe you're here to say, but I don't really have a good name. Maybe I don't have a good name. You know, or maybe it's not good like I would hope it to be. Well, there's scripture that comes back from Revelation chapter 3 where Jesus is talking to the church of Sardis, and He says, I know your deeds. You have a reputation of being alive, but you're dead. That's a pretty tough word, but sometimes reality, we need to pause for a moment. Where are we in our walk with God today? Not yesterday, not a year ago, not 10 years. Where are we today? Are we alive and inspiring in Him? Because that's what He's calling us to be. That's what He's drawing. Maybe you feel like, you know, man, I'm dead compared to where I was. Or maybe you feel that you don't have a good name. And you know it. And you feel like you just can't keep the mask up anymore. Let me just say, welcome home. Because we can't keep the mask up anyways. Welcome home. Because you're in a place where the scripture says in Romans 3:23 that simply everyone is so aware of and understands that we have all sinned and we've all fallen short of his glory. There's no one in this room that hasn't. So welcome home. You're in a good starting place because we're all in it together. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We've fallen short of the standard. We've sinned. And in that place, we know that that breaks the heart of God. We know and we understand, but we need help. Well, you're in a great place because we believe we're better together because life is too hard on our own. That's why he says, how can the hand say to the foot, I don't need you? You need the foot or the hand's going nowheres. You need the hand or the foot can go all at once, but it's not going to make the connections that it needs to make. We need each other. We've all fallen short. That means everybody. It means me, your pastor, I've fallen short. It means Dave Adams, who was just leading worship, he's fallen short. It means all those that were up on stage, they've fallen short. It means the person on your right and on your left, they've fallen short. None of us are perfect. But if you know Christ, then you know the one that's perfecting you. And that's a good starting place, is to be in that place. Even though our names might not be so good at the moment, we know that there's one name that everyone will bow to one day. The demons will shudder at. There's a name above all names that the name of is Jesus. And let me just say this. There's those that might feel like you're in bondage to some choices that you've made or others have made. And the life that you're living just feels like it's suffocating. Well, the good news is Galatians 5, the Bible says that through Christ, you can be set free. Some might feel, I feel distant and far from God. I don't even know if there is a God. Well, listen to Ephesians 2. It tells us that by the power of Christ, that the fact that you're listening to this message, the fact that you're here today tells me and tells Holy Spirit and that he's at work inside of you. It tells me Holy Spirit's at work. He's already working to draw you close. The Bible says in Ephesians 2 that you can be brought near by the blood of Christ. Just by the fact of Christ dying on the cross, listen to me, God's will is that none would perish. So he's already working at your heart and my heart to draw us, to pull us in. You may feel like you're unlovable or unacceptable. Well, the news of Romans 15 says that Christ, in Christ, you are accepted. Maybe you feel sinful, filthy, or dirty. 2 Corinthians 5 says, and that in Christ you can be made new. The old is gone, the new has begun. But you say, yes, but you don't know me. You don't know what I've done. You don't know where I've been. You don't know my thoughts. You're right. But how about this? Has anyone here decided today or this week that you want to persecute and kill Christians? But understand this from Scripture. All those scriptures I just read, they came from a guy who was named Saul. God changed to Paul. He was out persecuting and killing Christians. One day, God knocked him off his horse, revealed that I am the great I am. Why are you persecuting me? And his whole life changed. And he's the one that spoke those words to encourage you and me. God put in his heart. God can use him to write almost half of the New Testament. You might say, you're too bad. But I simply want to say today that Jesus is too good to leave you the way you are. You might say you're too bad, but I'm saying to you, he's too good to leave you the way you are. So let's close. Listen, your past doesn't determine your future. You are creating your tomorrow's legacy today. You're creating your tomorrow's legacy today. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver and gold. Let's bow our heads for a few moments. I've had a lot of fun with these messages and just putting things together and unpackaging and trying to pull it together, but none of them have been more weighty than this one in my heart. I really feel like God wants to change some destiny. He wants you to know that your legacy is not already decided. But today is a new day. Yesterday's manna will just have maggots in it today. But he will give you new manna every day. He'll give you everything you need today for today. And tomorrow, he'll give you everything you need for that day, that day. You cannot run anymore off of yesterday. It makes us disgruntled. It makes our stomach go sour. It makes our heart go sour. Because we're hanging on to something that is old, something that is yesterday, and we're missing what he's speaking today. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pause for right now. If there's someone that's wrestling in their heart today, they know that maybe what's being betrayed or what's being shared or what's being put out right now is not what they want. But they've got into a pattern or a habit that hasn't been so good. It's more relying on themselves than on you. God, Lord, I pray today for a breakthrough. The appearance of living but yet dying inside. Would you breathe life? Holy Spirit, would you breathe life right now into all of us? Fill us to overflowing. We are so desperate in need of you every day. God, I thank you for renewing hearts, renewing thoughts, renewing minds, renewing emotions, renewing words. Right now, replacing the lies the enemy has spoken, the lies that he's trying to attach to our yesterday, but today is a new day. And Lord, I don't care what anyone has done, and that, Lord, in you, we could be made new. Lord, and I thank you, Lord, for that. I thank you for wisdom and understanding that goes along with that as we walk confidently, not only before you, but before others. So Lord, make new today. Make new today. Lord, I pray. Lord, if there's anyone that sounded my voice that maybe they don't know you, they know about you, but that relationship and they're struggling with that, Lord, would you reveal yourself to them right now? Would you reveal yourself to them? He says, my sheep know my voice. So right now he's speaking already. Start to talk to him. Start to open your heart to him. Jesus, I thank you. You're not finished with us yet. Break the lie that we've got to be perfect. And Lord, help us to walk in and embrace that we're connecting to the one that is perfect and you're doing a work inside of us that is not complete. Lord, I pray that you just continue to perfect us, continue to help shape and mold us from glory to glory. But take that weight off. That pressure, that mask. Lord, I thank